This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes. Michelle Martin is away. The NBA playoffs are in full swing, but the WNBA tips off its season tomorrow. We'll have a preview in a few minutes. But first, for decades, African Americans have represented a reliable voting bloc for Democrats. But what about those who support the Republican Party? This primary season, there's been a surge of Black Republican candidates for Congress, 32 to be precise, the most since Reconstruction. To talk about this development and some of the hot primaries this season, we've called on frequent Tell Me More contributor and BET senior political analyst Pam Gentry. She joins us from Las Vegas. Welcome back to the program, Pam.
Always a pleasure.
So we've already said there's a historic number of Black people running for Republican nominations to Congress this year. What's behind all that?
Well, there's a combination of things. The first is that, in all fairness to the Democratic Party, because it has had such a lock on the African-American vote, there's a long line of very qualified candidates on the table. So if you have a seat that comes open, whether it's a local municipality seat or a congressional seat, there are a lot of well-steeded Democratic African-Americans to run. The bench is not that deep on the Republican side. And so the Republicans have, over the years, they've made efforts to break into the African-American community and to try and field good candidates. But now the line is opening up. And so I think candidates who want to run are seeing this as an opportunity and they're taking it.
Are they different than the previous crop of Republican candidates? There was a fair number in 1994 and 2000.
Yeah, there are a couple differences this time around. First of all, a lot of these folks have been working at the local levels, maybe with the party, not necessarily in politics, but they have worked very closely in the Republican Party. A lot of them are conservatives. They are basically following the principles of the conservative party. And so they don't feel that really this is an odd fit for them. They feel comfortable there. And the third thing is we can't ignore this. I mean, it does help that you do now have an African-American president. You also have the Republican National Party has elected a leader that is African-American. So they see that the party has really put a little bit of money on the table as to what they've said they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And now they're seeing it happen. But I think the biggest difference here is not that either one of these African-Americans has taken leadership positions. It has really reinforced that conservatives or white Americans and other African-American will support candidates, not necessarily solely based on the party that they're affiliated with.
Well, let's take a listen to a few of these candidates. Princella Smith is hoping to become the GOP's nominee for the 1st District in Arkansas. Here's what she had to say about the role race has played in her campaign.
I've really found that most people here are so jaded by people in Washington, D.C., that they really just want to know, are you going to do a good job? And it almost doesn't even matter, you know, that I'm a female, that I'm 26, that I'm African-American. You know, they just don't care. The questions that I've been asked have been directly targeted to the issues. And believe it or not, it's the media and press that have asked me more about race than anybody else.
So, Pam, is it just the press? Are we the only people that are concerned about this large number of Black people running as Republicans?
Well, I don't think we're as concerned about it as we're intrigued by can these candidates win. And she made an interesting point. I mean, I mentioned this earlier, a lot of them are spouting very conservative values. They're supporting school vouchers. They're supporting prayer in school. They're supporting gun rights. They're taking on very conservative issues. So they know that the constituency that they're going after would have to support them issue by issue. But what concerns me is that they're not necessarily going on any type of, I would say, moderate, at any moderate issues where they can be really, where you can really be judged on it. I mean, of course, if you say I'm conservative and I'm against abortion, of course, you're going to get that. Yes, that's a great thing. But there are other things that, economic policies and things like that, that you may want someone who has a more modest platform. So that'll be the challenge for them, because I don't think that necessarily race is going to be a huge factor if they're really spouting the conservative thing. But if they come up to a candidate that is a non-African-American candidate with all the same qualities, what's going to set them apart? That's the challenge for them.
You were saying earlier that some of these candidacies are kind of reactions to the Obama presidency. I read that one person said, well, if the president of the United States was elected with a significant amount of white support, then so could we be. Do you think the president would find that to be ironic?
I think he would find that to be intriguing. And I think that in some point we have to give a lot of credit to the president. But in the real political circles where everything is local, politics is local, if you look at some of the early races that African Americans won for in cities which were predominantly white or predominantly conservative, you look at cities like Denver. These mayors in large municipalities, they did win, and it was not a racial vote. It was a vote for the person and for the candidate. So we have to admit that that is a quality that voters look for, and that the race factor can become secondary. But what I was saying on the bigger scale, President Obama and Michael Steele have done something else, and they have shown that people will go for candidates regardless of their race, mm-hmm. if in fact they believe in them, their ideology, and that's where the tire hits the pavement.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes, and I'm speaking with Pamela Gentry, senior political analyst for BET, and we're talking about the surge of African Americans running as Republicans this primary season. Pam, let's take a listen to another candidate. This is Vernon Parker. He's mayor of Paradise Valley, Arizona, which is a majority white affluent community just outside of Scottsdale. And he talked with us a bit about one of his motivations to run on the Republican ticket.
The greater cry that I get, quite frankly, is from the white community. And they say, we need more African Americans in the Republican Party. They are right, because we have to get away from the day where we have 90% of the African American population in the Democratic Party. That phenom does not exist anywhere else. You don't have 90% of white people in the Republican Party. They have different views, and the African-American community is the same. We have different views. We have different values. We should not be handcuffed to one political party.
Pam, do you think, as Mayor Parker suggests, that African-Americans should or are rethinking their voting behavior?
Well, I think that they have to. I mean, you have to really understand that your voting power is when it is in that one block, then it's the only place you can go for change or for assistance, or really it's the only pulpit that you have to take your issues to. And of course, diversifying African-Americans being part of the Republican Party, maybe they will influence the Republican Party and change the platform, just as the conservatives kind of took over the Republican Party and they kicked all the moderates out. You know, this could be the first moderate wave or the less conservative wave. If you have Republicans who come into the party as African Americans, they may have a little bit more influence because they're not going to be expected to be like everyone else.
I want to play another clip from Princella Smith, because she also talked about the need for some changing political attitudes.
I'm tired of people putting people in boxes. I just think that we live in such a great country where we are allowed to vote for who we want to vote for. We are allowed to be a member of whatever political party we're a member of and have whatever political ideology we want to have. I just am glad that now, okay, we're going to have enough African Americans running so that other people can see, okay, it's not abnormal to be African-American and Republican. I want a day in America where you don't just look at somebody automatically and say, oh, they must be a Democrat, or, oh, they must be a Republican. We need to mix it up.
Pam, do you think that people really are doing that, or are they just still looking at people going, all right, that's a black woman, she must be a Democrat. Oh, that's a blonde guy, he's got to be a Republican because he's in Wyoming.
I think that we do in this country right now. We do that. But it's not that they're stereotyping. You can look at the voting records. African American in the last presidential race, it's all hit over the 93, 94, 96 percentile with President Obama. They voted Democratic. I mean, that's a fact. That's not something that people are saying, I guess. So now, can we guess if the other 2 or 3% who did not vote Democratic are Republican? We don't know. Some are independents. But I do think that the diversity in the Republican Party is only going to come from more people joining it or running on that ticket and espousing different beliefs. So I can understand that point. But no, it's not stereotypical, and I don't think that it's, and I don't see a huge sea change. I don't see this going back to the 1960s, mm-hmm. Where it was when President Nixon won, where you're going to have something like 60% of African Americans voting, still voting Republican. I think that didn't change until after Nixon's win, but I don't think we're going to see that. But I do see a sea change of 3, 4, 5, 8% in some local races.
I want to actually talk about a couple of the primaries that are coming up and talk about Democrats. There's some important primaries coming up. Let's take a look at this Tuesday's primary in Pennsylvania. Incumbent Arlen Specter was once a Republican but switched a year ago. Now he's facing some tough competition from Representative Joe Sesak. Briefly talk to me about that race.
Well, I think there's a couple things going on there. Let's not count. Arlen Specter has now run into a formidable challenge. The polls right now are showing him practically even with his Democratic challenger. The ad wars have gotten a little dirty, and his challenger now is charging him with maybe he's just a little bit too old and been there too long. But here are the problems with Pennsylvania. Arlen Specter has never really – this is his first challenge as a Democrat – and Arlen Specter has won very successfully as a Republican. But the thing is, if Arlen Specter loses this, will his challenger be able to beat a Republican challenger? And so I think that's what Pennsylvania is going to have to figure out. If they send Sesak to the if he wins the primary, how well will he fare against a Republican opponent? I don't want to count Arlen Specter out at this time. Senator Specter has had close races in 92. He had a close race in 04, and he ended up pulling those out with 2 or 3% margins. So Pennsylvania complains about him, but I think they like him as well.
And the Kagan nomination, the nomination of Elena Kagan to the U.S. Supreme Court has kind of complicated that race a bit.
Yes, I'm sure if the president had called and asked him, told him he was going to nominate her, he would have said to wait until after May 18th. It would have been a much easier poll for him. But
Pam, I've got to jump in here. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. Pamela Gentry is a senior political analyst for BET. She came to us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks so much, Pam, for joining us.
Not a problem.
Coming up, the legendary Lena Horne died this week. She was an undeniable force on stage and an influential civil rights activist. So when NPR's Charlene Hunter-Galt got the chance to meet Horne, she expected the actress would demand the star treatment.
I kept calling her Miss Horne, and after a while she said, just call me Lena, child.
Remembering a Night with Lena. That's coming up on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Allison Keyes.